Yo, what's up? It's your boy, Kid Mero. This is Victory Light. You know what I'm saying? We got a special edition today, baby. We in Brooklyn with none other than Tish James, Letitia James, New York State Attorney General. And we're talking about affordability. We're talking about the mayoral race in Zoran. We're talking about her past. We're talking about my past. We're talking about her alma mater, Preston, and how she swooped in and saved it. You know what I'm saying? All that and more. And yes, she does cuss a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's my partner in space, and we losing. So stay right there. Don't go nowhere.
A victory light. A victory light.
You wrote a lot, Mero.
I like to be prepared.
I know
when I'm speaking to people of your magnitude.
Oh, please, give me a break. Yeah. Mero, just like if we have to be relaxed, chill.
That's what we do.
We're in juniors.
Listen, and I'm lactose intolerant, so I'm not going to have the cheesecake just yet because we got production. They got the lactates in the back for me.
For real?
I'm going to enjoy one after. Cause
I think they
have a lactose-free version?
Yes, I think so. I think so. You should do that.
I might do that because like I said, you're a very important person.
Right.
And I'm lactose intolerant. So I didn't want to
You're very
offend
important.
You,
I'm lactose intolerant. No, it's okay.
You know, and these are sensitive microphones. So if
That's
I sit up
saying.
Here and start, you know what I mean? Start putting in front of Letitia James.
It's fine. You would make me feel at home.
So somebody just follow you around farting?
Listen, I have four brothers.
Oh, okay. I fully understand. I'm a father of four, three boys and a daughter.
One daughter is the last one. I'm going to pray for her.
So I'm a son of it.
But you know what? She's going to represent her own. She's going to stand up to those boys. That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
I'm going to send it to the Letitia James camp for strong women.
Exactly.
Because you come from a long line.
That's right.
Of strong women.
I'm going to tell that young lady to stand up and make sure she claims that bathroom.
You better wipe that toilet seat.
Tell them to wipe it down.
Y'all are nasty. I'm talking to my boys directly. I'm talking to y'all. Amari, you know, Avery, Adrian, stop pissing on the seat. Because then your sister got to go sit there.
Right.
That's nasty.
Right, and she's not cleaning up after you.
She's not.
Not at all.
I've seen her do it once. I said, don't you dare.
Don't you dare.
Put that Clorox wipe down.
Exactly.
Those chemicals are too... Yeah,
exactly.
Your little hands.
Grab them and bring them into the bathroom.
Like this.
No, by their... Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man, listen. You know the energy, man. This is Brooklyn. Okay, this is Letitia James, the Attorney General for
Brooklyn.
The state of New York.
Brooklyn,
you know what I'm saying?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is in the house.
Brooklyn.
And that's why we're here. We're in Brooklyn.
Yes.
You know, we're juniors. This is
yes.
your home court.
Yes, yes.
You know? Welcome. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate you.
You know, Brooklyn born and raised, like I said.
Yeah.
A lot has changed. A lot has stayed the same.
Yes.
What has changed? What has stayed the same for you?
Well, you're in juniors.
Institution.
And so, do you remember the time when juniors used to have the beats on the table? Nasty beats. They were nasty, though.
Yeah.
They were out there with flies and everything.
Yeah,
anyway.
I think it was to attract the flies, to keep them away from the other food.
Well, they're not here anymore. But anyway, but the pancakes are here, the corned beef hash is here, the strawberry cheesecake is here. Everyone needs to come to juniors. Mm. If you are a tourist or if you're a New York City resident or New York State resident, everyone must come to juniors. This is a historic place. It's sacred.
It is.
Sacred.
Yeah, we gotta touch it.
A moment.
You know,
listen. A moment. Okay.
And we're back. You know what I'm saying? We're back. We're Letitia James. So, yeah, listen, an institution. Like I said earlier, I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
But you just put me on game that they have lactose-free cheesecake now. So.
I think so.
We are lit.
I think so. So, but a lot has changed. I mean, you see all these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the city council member when they rezoned all of this. You know, this was not supposed to be what we see.
What was it supposed to be?
It was supposed to be more commercial and more industrial, and it turned out to be primarily residential.
Mm.
And a lot of these units, most Brooklynites can't afford it. Most New Yorkers can't afford it. And they're really small units, and you know, we have families. We have big families. And it's unfortunate that individuals are being priced out of their community. It's unfortunate that countless number of individuals are homeless, doubling up and tripling up, mm-hmm. surfing. And what you see here is La La Land, Shangri-La, and not a community.
A fantasy.
Not a fantasy. And not a community for Brooklynites.
Right.
And so I've lived in Brooklyn all my life. A lot of the residents, constituents that I represented are no longer here. They've moved to the South. This reverse migration back to the South.
Yeah.
Atlanta, North Carolina, South Carolina.
Yeah. I went South too. I was not too South, just Jersey.
GSC.
But,
because you couldn't afford it.
Southern migration. Right.
Right.
Because it's like, man, where am I going to put these three kids?
Exactly.
And now four kids.
Right.
In
a small unit.
We got two bedrooms.
Right. You see?
I still want to be intimate.
Right. That's called TMI.
Yeah. Okay. Oh man. So listen, let's keep it. Let's get back. Let's get out of the nasty.
Okay.
Let's get into some,
yes,
a little bit more. Let's walk on the Lord's path. You,
yes,
know what I mean?
Yes.
You're active in your church in Clinton Hill.
Yes.
You know, shout out to Clinton Hill, BK
all
day.
Not too far from here.
That's right.
Walking distance.
Thoughts on the new Pope? Because we got an American Pope now.
I like him. He's from Chicago. Chi-town.
Okay. Make that specific. It's very
Chi-town.
Specific.
Chi-town. So I really like him because he cares about others.
Mm.
And he cares about immigrants more than anything else.
Mm.
And you know what, when I walk these streets, you know what breaks my heart? Individuals who come up to me who are immigrants, who are just concerned and afraid about what is happening. Individuals who are concerned about being separated. Families where loved ones have been detained, kidnapped in the middle of the night. People who are afraid to go to work, go to church, go to court.
Right.
Individuals who have witnessed horrific crimes.
Right.
Refuse to be witnesses because they're afraid that they might get caught up with ICE. And that's just not, the America that I love. And to see all of these young people, to see all of these immigrants just fall in my arms crying, just breaks my heart.
As a member of, the state legislature, seeing these people, because like you said, it's different now. Like, there was always, there was always ICE was always a thing. There was immigration. There was always, whatever. But now, to your point, it feels like a little bit, not a little bit, a lot scarier because it's just like, you look like you might be.
Yeah.
It's not, hey, I'm going over here. Now they're going to job sites. They're going to churches. They're going to... Home Depot, parking lot.
Exactly.
And just snatching people up.
And not too far from here is Little Haiti.
Mm.
And Little Haiti used to be a bustling community.
Mm-hmm.
It's quiet. Washington Heights, Dominican community. Shout out to my Dominican community.
Si
se puede.
Quiet. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Quiet.
You know how hard it is to keep Dominicans quiet?
Tell me. I know, because they can party, and I party right there with them.
You feel me?
I'm definitely. The point is that, the number of people that President Trump has deported is less than what President Obama.
That numbers-wise, yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
But he's going to catch up. Why? Because of this big, beautiful or ugly bill that they just passed.
Big booty ass bill. Butt ass bill.
Exactly.
The BAB.
Right, the big booty, big butt, bad ass.
Bad bill.
The bad bill.
How does something like that even happen in government? You know what I mean? Because I feel like we're entering uncharted waters in terms of you're at the state level, you have to deal with these people directly, for funding, for all kinds of stuff. What is it like dealing with an administration that looks like they just mess up, they just fucking around? Like, we just here to do, hey, we don't care what's, hey, we're gonna do this, we're gonna move fast and break stuff, and not in a good way.
Yeah. So you have a compliant Congress. They control both houses, House of Representatives and the Senate. And they got, the Supreme Court. So you got all these conservative judges. So don't come up to me and say politics don't matter. Don't come up to me and say voting doesn't matter. I don't want to hear that, because you might get smacked down. Yes, it matters. It definitely matters, particularly now given all that's happened. And don't tell me that Trump was a friend of communities of color, because, listen, a lot of brothers came up to me and said, Tish, I got a stimulus check and Donald Trump signed it. That's my man. I gotta pay for Pampers and food and stuff. Look who gave me the check. That's my man.
You know what's crazy? In our community, I was saying this to Zora Mamdani. It's not ignorance. It's not, it's not like, oh, this person isn't smart. It's, bro, I am working 12 hours a day.
Right.
The only media that I consume is just like mainstream TV. And a lot of the times, you know, money talks over there.
That's right.
You know? So then when you have a situation like with Mondani, where it's like people, it's like the people, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's right. Speaking right to his to their issues.
To their issues, right.
And that's what Trump did. He spoke to their economic woes. So isn't it ironic that Trump and Mamdani have a lot in common?
Right.
You know, simple concepts.
Right. We don't want war. We just right. want affordability.
And Democrats are talking about democracy, and people are like, what the fuck is that?
What are y'all talking about?
What are y'all talking about?
What are y'all talking
about? Excuse my language.
No, it's all
I
good.
I just cussed.
Thank you. I thank you, please, thank you for breaking the seal, because I'll be cursing like a motherfucker, and I was just waiting, because, listen, I'm a respectful young man, okay,
yeah.
You know, and I respect, listen, I'm
but it's
not,
too early in the morning for me to start cussing.
No, it ain't.
Okay.
Because we in Brooklyn and Junior's.
Okay, this is
so
true.
So you can curse as much as you
okay.
want.
Okay, God
damn
it.
You know what
I
mean? God damn it, this shit is crazy.
And you didn't get me any food, God damn it.
Well, we got you some coffee and some water to keep you hydrated, because you say, listen, and it ain't me. You said you had a lunch, so you had to keep it light. You couldn't do the silver dollar pancakes
that's
today.
Right. That he did offer, offer the silver dollar pancakes.
I'm a gentleman.
He did. He's a gentleman. He is a gentleman.
Okay.
He's a gentleman. Actually, his staff was going to pay, so don't get it twisted. He's a cheap mug.
You know, right there, yeah. It's employment, you know what I'm saying? You got to write that up. You got to do your taxes, you know what I'm saying? Correctly.
But they were talking real. They were talking real issues.
Right.
And so the brothers at the corner, you know, my entrepreneurial brothers,
mm-hmm.
who were saying, Tish, you know, look what Trump did. This is what Trump is talking about.
And
right.
Woo, woo, woo.
And Hillary at the time wasn't talking about their needs, their issues, what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
And that's how you get them.
That's how you get them.
And that's exactly what
but
I
was. That was a hustle.
That's the thing. So there's two avenues of that, right? There's the hustle.
Yes.
There's the, like, yo, I'm going to just say whatever to get your vote.
Bingo.
Like 50 Cent said, I tell the bitch whatever she wants.
Exactly.
Hear. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And then so, all right, you got me.
That's right.
Another thing I said was, and this is very important. And
but Mondami's not his hustle.
And not his hustle.
He's authentic.
Authentic and organic.
He's
yes.
Got
thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
And that was, and that's the point I'm trying to make, because I said this to him when we were walking around, and I'll say it to you, and I think it's true.
Okay.
Tell me if you agree or not.
Okay.
Brand loyalty is phenomenal for things like Juniors. You know what I mean? If you're a Heinz ketchup person, that's your brand of ketchup. You know. If you are, your car is just Toyota, you buy a Toyota every time out, that's great. Brand loyalty is great for stuff that you buy.
Right.
Not for politicians.
Mm.
Just because this guy got the same last name as the other guy,
right,
don't mean that he's gonna do the same thing that his pops did. Also, when you are raised as a child of a politician, there's gotta be some kind of disconnect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Between
yeah.
the, you know, the your constituency and you know, you. You know what I mean? As a person. Because, and I'll say, I'll say that to say this.
Go ahead.
You've been quoted as saying,
yeah.
You've experienced being evicted.
Yeah.
You've experienced like all the things that regular New Yorkers
yeah.
experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These dudes have not.
No, they haven't.
You feel me?
No.
Like they coming from Silver Spoon Land.
No.
So how does that, you know, that background, that history that you have inform what you do?
So, listen, I don't come from a legacy family. My family wasn't in politics. My mom scrubbed floors. My dad was a, you know, a super and a couple of buildings
up in Harlem. All my supers out there.
Yeah, all the supers out there. So, you know, I know eviction. I know discrimination. I know hate. I know hunger. I know pain. I know mental illness. I know drug abuse. I know all of that. Still dealing with it. I know the correctional facility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still dealing with it. So I know everyday experience. And so it's important, and which is why when I ran for office, the people from the PJs, Ingersoll, Whitman, and Farragut, shout out to them.
Shout to Farragut.
And shout out
big
to Farragut, shout. Fort Greene, and Atlantic Terminal,
mm-hmm.
and LG, Lafayette Gardens. They're the ones that said.
Oh, she official said LG. That's official. You know what I'm saying? That's what they call it out there. You know what I mean?
So they're the ones that said, Tish, you know, you need to be at that table to talk about those issues,
mm.
to talk about the high rate of unemployment, to talk about violence, to talk about all these issues, and to talk about how we need job training and we need jobs in these PJs.
Mm-hmm.
And we need an opportunity, obviously, to, you know, to move out of the PJs and to home ownership and all of that good stuff.
Right.
And so...
Because that's the point, right? It's like, this is a springboard for you to, you know what I mean, do your thing. You know, if you don't have that, like, you know, legacy, family,
right.
safety net, you know, here's a safety net for you. Go do your thing.
But so many people are staying in the PJs because they can't afford this shit.
That part.
A victory light. A victory light.
So how do we get rid of this shit and make it affordable for real New Yorkers? Because, like I said, like, I'm in New Jersey now. You know what I mean? Like, the current mayor. You know?
Right.
And it ain't because he can't afford it, because he got turkey money. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I ain't talking about Thanksgiving. I had to dip because I have four children in a two-bedroom apartment.
Right.
Couldn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, I tried. You couldn't do it. I adjusted furniture. We did things.
You couldn't do it.
His pantry also contains the computer and a desk. You know what I mean?
You can't do it.
It's not possible.
It's not possible. So people are moving out. And so, you know, this is not going anywhere. This is it. But as we go forward, we need to talk about current infrastructure. We need to start building over the rail yards. You know, I opposed the arena, right?
Mm-hmm.
Barclays.
Mm-hmm.
And I opposed it because I knew that the focus was all about the Barclays Arena. And where Barclays is, where they had that arena is, there were people living there.
Yeah.
Low-income people, mostly Latinos.
Mm-hmm.
And blacks. And a couple of Jewish people. There was one woman who was a Holocaust survivor. She wanted to die in her home. And they used eminent domain to kick them out to build that arena. Now, I know, listen, you've been there. A lot of people have been there. So, okay, I'm okay with it.
That is cool. But I saw Cat Williams there. It was very funny.
Yeah.
Great show.
That's right. But the point is that where's the housing? Where's the affordable housing that they promised?
Right.
For low and moderate income families. And so what I said back then came true. They never built it. It was always about that arena.
It was always about that.
Always right. about the arena. And now they've gone on, and the developer went belly up bankrupt.
Look at that. And it's crazy to me, too, because it's like, you know, a lot of, like, shout out to my cousin, G. He's from Bushwick, you know what I mean? Like, my only family in Brooklyn, which was, like, as a Bronxite.
Have you been to Bushwick lately? You won't even recognize it.
At all. I used to take the train, I'll never forget, because it was the only time I came to Brooklyn, take the J train to Gates, get off and walk up to Bushwick and see my titi and family over there. And Tish, when I tell you the change from like the mid-90s to like even 2005, like it was like people, if you weren't from here, it wasn't like it was like scary. You know what I mean? Because you grew up in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So last night I was out in the Bronx like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, you know, walking around, streaming, doing the thing.
Right.
Felt comfortable. You know what I mean? What is it, though, about these places that make people, that gives it that, like, you know, that image, you know what I mean? That's not really true, you know what I mean?
It's a stereotype, and it's the generalization of communities of color where people raise families, where there's community, where you got barbecues and parties, you know?
That's your community.
It's community. It's just community. And so Ingersoll, Whitman, Farragut, LG, you know, it's just people trying to make ends meet like everybody else, struggling, hustling, on their grind every day. And they need to be respected. And they want their voice to be heard. And that's why they came out and voted for Letitia James when she ran for city council way back when.
Because you went out there, you was outside.
I was at the barbecue.
Talking to people.
And they invited me into their homes, and, you know, we had dinner, we talked about issues. They wanted childcare, they wanted places for their children they wanted their children to be engaged in constructive activities, they wanted good schools, they wanted the same things that you and I want, you know? And so all of them were not involved in criminal activity. There's some hard-working people in PJs, and a significant number of them are women with children.
Yep.
And we need to understand that, and we need to provide for them. And that's what this young man is speaking to. He's speaking to those issues, Mandami. And so, you know, I know people are trying to paint him as, you know, to put him in a box, the stereotype, but he really is talking about economic issues, just like DT did, Donald Trump did, but Mandami is actually serious. It's coming from the heart.
From a real
it's
place.
Authentic.
Right. Listen, you like the Beyonce of, you know, getting elected. Listen, you can roll your eyes all you want.
Single lady.
Uh-huh. No. Hello. You know what I'm saying? All my unks out there, you know?
Put your hands up.
You know what I'm saying?
Go in the club.
Maybe you should DM, you know what I'm saying?
So, you know, we have this thing in Brooklyn called Dancing with the Stars. We raise funds for children in Brownsville in East New York to go to dancing school and to go to after-school programs free. And so elected officials dance. And one time I did that song. Single
Ladies?
It was Beyonce. Yes.
The whole choreography?
The whole thing.
Yo, YouTube, do your thing. Let me see.
But I lost because there's a competition.
Who'd you lose to?
I lost to this guy, the gentleman from Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration, the executive director of Restoration. But it was a scam. Why? Because I did not know that you could bring people to the audience.
Ah.
He brought half of Bed-Stuy, and they applauded him. And I didn't know I could have brought Fort Greene and Clinton Hill in my church.
You cheated.
He cheated.
You cheated. She could have had the whole congregation
I could have won.
Pastor would have been out there clapping.
Exactly. And we lost.
Crazy.
Right.
Listen. So, like I said, the Beyonce of New York State politics. My mom, you know, is a public school teacher, came here in the 70s, immigrant woman, was very serious, like you said, about civic duties.
Yeah.
Took it very seriously.
Yeah.
Voted in every primary, city, council, local, local, state, national, everything. And she instilled that in me at a young age. So now, I want to ask you this, because every single time I will go vote, from the time I turned 18, I would see Republican, Democrat, this, that. But what I always saw on the ballot in the Bronx was the Working Families Party.
Yeah.
Can you explain, also, not to be overlooked, you were the first person to win on that ticket since 1977.
No, not 77.
77 was
not
the last time it happened. And then you came and did it.
And then I came and did it.
You know what I'm saying?
In the 90s.
That's right.
Okay.
So you know what I mean? You broke a record. You're record holder.
I am the face of WFP, the first person to win on the WFP line alone.
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 Not stacking it like, name is in four different joints.
No, just alone. Just that by itself. And so WFP was an effort created by, formed or organized by David Dinkins, the first African-American mayor. And it was a fusion party, basically to get more individuals out to vote and give them an option.
Right.
And so he created it's the notion of coalition building.
Mm.
And so when I ran for city council the first time, I lost to James Davis.
Mm.
James Davis was a former police officer who was shot in the head at City Hall.
Oh, that's why you, come on.
Right, he was shot in the head.
It's like, oh, yo, I got shot in the head, yo.
No, he died.
He died. Oh, I thought he got shot and then ran.
No, he died.
Damn. Okay, see, I learn something new every day.
He was assassinated, and he was the one who started the phrase, stop the violence.
Oh, okay.
And so he got assassinated when he was elected. He was elected, got murdered by someone who came to my house the night before. Yeah.
To get you?
No.
Oh.
Listen to the story.
Okay, go ahead.
Stop interrupting. He came to my house and said he didn't like James and was I going to run again? And I said no. And then he said he hated James, who was a city council member. And he said, you lost, but you should run again because we hate him and I'm gay and I think he's trying to bribe me. And I said, what are you talking about? And I said, you should run. We don't care if you're gay. Run against him. I'm not running. I'm in school. I was at Columbia. You should run. And he said, I'm thinking about it. In any event, the next day, James and him walked into City Hall. He had a gun on him, took James up into the balcony, and murdered him.
What?
Yeah.
New York City history.
Yeah. So after he was murdered, the Democratic Party decided to endorse his brother. You know, sympathy. I understand
that. Right.
Yeah, of course. But the community said, we want Tish to run. And so I ran on WFP, and I won, and the rest is history.
So that party, I mean, when you read it on the ballot, it sounds self-explanatory.
Yes.
The Working Families Party.
Yes.
This is for working families.
Yes.
Is that the main, you know, focus?
It's
It's
a progressive party that focuses on economics and focuses on, again, advancing the needs of individuals who have historically been ignored.
Mm.
And working people whose voices are usually not heard in rooms where power and decisions are being made. And so what they wanted to do is elevate the voices of real people who have lived experiences, people who can relate to those who are living in the PJs.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are living in Brownsville and Bedford-Stuyvesant and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People who, you know, have had failure in their life, who've had, you know, success in their life, people who've struggled in their life, people who know about gun violence and drug abuse, mental illness, all of that. lived experiences. Yeah. Not the voices of legacy families and those simply of the rich.
You know, talking points and stuff. You know,
yeah, just little, regular folk yeah, like just, you.
Yeah.
Like you could run for office.
Hey, listen, I said this last night on Hassan's stream. Richard Torres, watch out. You know what I'm saying? Like my primary, you gang. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Well, wait a minute.
I'm being bold out here.
But wait a minute. You live in Jersey.
Listen, I will. So does Eric Adams, and that ain't stop him. Polo live in Scarsdale. What are we talking about? You know what I'm saying? And I'm the Bronx all day. Like, listen, if you can
move back.
Yeah,
you can move back to establish residency.
I said that when I was doing this. The rally was on. I said, listen, the reason why I migrated south was because I couldn't afford to stay where I was at. I was in a residential area. I was in Throgs Neck, you know, in the Bronx. Very nice residential area, you know, a lot of stuff for the kids and stuff like that. But then stuff started going away.
Mm.
Like the libraries programs started getting cut. Everything started getting more expensive. You know, my son tested into Gifted and Talented.
Wow.
And he couldn't even go.
You see that?
Because we had to leave before he was able to go. And I was just like, man, he could have got a great education, you know, like in New York City with all this culture, all these people, you know, and like you said, like seeing real people every
day,
you know?
Like one of the things I want to do is bring back boxing. They took away all the boxing clubs so that young kids can have something constructive to do.
Right.
So that's why they're hanging out at the corner. And then, you know, they need to be engaged in constructive activities. And so you need to come back and run because there's not a lot of young brothers in politics with lived experience who look like you.
So, you know, we talked about your AG work in general. You know? And a lot of the knocks on government work is that it takes so long. It's the bureaucracy and the red tape to do this and to do that. But when one alma mater of yours, Preston High School, was in danger of closing. It was a done deal.
Yeah,
Brownsboro president was like, yo, it's shutting down. The nuns was like, ain't none left. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You swooped in and made it happen. And the reason I know is, for the uninitiated, Preston is a private school in the Bronx for girls. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my cousin Patty. She did not go to Preston. Uh-huh. She went to Spelman, which was a superior school for girls. You know, I'm just in the Bronx.
Well, I'm going to take issue on behalf of Preston about this whole superior thing. Fairness. Because those Preston girls, they were like, you better save our school, Tish.
Well, you know, to your credit, you came in there and you did it, and it was not in the typical, what people would call, you know, governmental fashion, where it was like, all right, we're gonna save this school, or we're gonna reopen it in 2037. You know what I'm saying? You came in there and you made it happen.
I gotta give credit to the administration, and I have to give credit to the young students.
Mm-hmm.
Those young students were just absolutely amazing.
They were passionate.
They were very passionate. They reached out to my office, and I wanted to hear from them. I wanted to hold a hearing. I heard about this amazing school, and they came and they testified and they, you know, had me there for a couple of hours. They talked about their experience, their loss of scholarship, their loss of services, all that Preston offers, what, you know, their vision, their future, all of that was in jeopardy. And so as the attorney general that has jurisdiction over not-for-profits, it was incumbent upon me to do everything that I could to save that school. And so J-Lo did a tweet. She's a graduate, J-Lo, J-Lo, J-Lo. She did a tweet. And then, you know, we spoke to the nuns, and I tell you, you think negotiating with, like, you know, all these rich people is something? Negotiating with nuns will...
I went to Catholic school for...
Smack you upside your head.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
I was in the ruler era.
Yeah. Right.
They didn't play around.
Some tells me you got knocked upside your head a couple of times.
A lot. Yeah. You know what I mean? I never played football. Might have CTE.
I could see
that. You know what I'm saying?
We negotiated a deal, and Preston will stay open. And Bally's purchased it, not for the purposes of a casino, but, you know, using their brand, their name, their resources to save the school. So shout out to Bally's, shout out to the nuns, but most importantly, those young women who are future leaders.
Big future leaders because, listen, that like I said, Preston is a high school.
Yeah.
And high school is that next step, you know.
That's right.
You're either going to college, you're starting a business, whatever you're doing after high school, you're basically adulting.
That's right. And the closing of that school would have jeopardized their ability to go to college.
You know what I mean? And the continuity, all that stuff is important. And they can get messed up.
Those girls were like, save this school. And a lot of them, I was afraid of them, so I had to do something.
Pressing girls is tough.
They tough, those little girls. They were like,
they go over there, Lehman, and fight the
exactly.
other girls. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
No, they don't fight.
They're not fighting across town down there. That's not happening at all. No way. I recognize those skirts, you know? keeping it, you know, Bronx school orientated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just made that word up. You're welcome. You are an alumni of the illustrious CUNY Lehman College. Shout out to Lehman Lightning.
With Ruben Diaz Jr. Ruben Cito.
And also, Dulce Martinez, my mother. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my mom.
Hey, Dulce Martinez, God bless you.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to FIFA, you know? I was a graduate. I went to the daycare there. You know what I mean? Shout out to Lehman.
Thank you for making me feel old. Thank you.
I went to... Listen, I'm bad, but I got 20-year-olds calling me up now, so I gotta pay it forward. as a graduate, talk about the importance of a school like Lehman, the neighborhood, the area, keeping those universities, those colleges, CUNY, popping, open,
that's right,
available. For us.
And affordable. So, I didn't have, my parents didn't graduate. They came here from the South with little education. I just knew that I wanted to go to college. I knew that education was a key to success. It opens up all doors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to go to CUNY. CUNY offered me an opportunity. And so I traveled from Brooklyn to CUNY. I worked. I went to Lehman because I wanted to be a social worker. And then I discovered that social work, I couldn't pay the bills, and so they said...
A lot of people don't want to go into social work find that out.
Exactly. But I wanted to help people, right. And so they said, you should become an attorney because you have a gift of gab. And so Howard University, here I go.
Howard, shout to Howard, shout to Lehman Howard. Woo!
H-U!
You know what I'm saying? Turn up.
You know.
A victory light. A victory light.
Before you became Attorney General,
mm-hmm.
you had mayoral hopes. You know what I mean?
I did.
What made you switch lanes? And follow up to that, what are you seeing in the current election?
So I was city council public advocate, now the Attorney General. The worst kept secret is that I wanted to be mayor after public advocate. Something happened to the AG. There was a scandal. He had to step down. Things change. You plan, God laughs. And so...
That's like I got four kids.
Exactly. God was left.
He's like, ha, 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 ha. You thought you pulled out in time. Ha, ha, ha.
No, that's all about that intimacy. So we won't go there. Anyway, so we decided to do AG because, we wanted to use the law both as a sword and as a shield and protect individuals. And people need to know that the Attorney General's office does more than focus on Donald Trump. Tenant issues, landlord-tenant issues, worst landlords lists from the public advocate's office I brought into the AG's office. We actually have filed actions against these terrible landlords.
Mm.
Consumer issues, data breaches, deed theft, wage theft, consumer excessive fees, environmental issues, reproductive rights issues, antitrust issues, Wall Street issues, crypto, AI, you name it.
Yeah.
It's the office of the Attorney General has this wide jurisdiction to investigate a lot of bad actors. And that's what I do every day.
That's great that you said that because I was going to ask, the media, the sexy media part about your job is like, oh, she's going up against Donald Trump.
No.
I feel like it's less about the individual and more about like what he represents.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? And can you talk a little bit about that? You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people don't understand. It feels like, to the layman, you know what I'm saying, that's just watching mainstream media, it's like, oh, there's another person going after Trump.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And it kind of emboldens his base.
That's
right.
You know
what I mean?
And that's all that I hear when you and that's all that the media gives attention to. They give life to that.
Right.
And I only spend maybe 10%, 20% of my time focused on Donald Trump. And it's really not him. It's about the harms to New Yorkers, immigrants, you know, putting conditions on all these grants, saying to New York City, you're going to lose all this money unless you, you know, he can cede to our politics, our view of the world, right. our priorities, all of that. It's jeopardizing Medicaid, health care, jeopardizing education funds, law enforcement grants, environmental grants, reproductive grants, nursing home grants. You know, hospitals are going to close. Nursing homes are going to close. So as the Attorney General, I took an oath to the Constitution and to individuals in the state of New York to stand up against these harms that are going to have a direct impact on the lives of New Yorkers. That's what I do. It has less to do with Donald Trump. It's about protecting New Yorkers.
Protecting the New Yorkers, man, consumer protection is a big deal. You talked about it. You talked about wage theft.
Yeah.
You talked about deed theft.
Yeah.
Break down a few of these things for people that don't know, because I've heard of these things, but I'm not super well-versed in these things.
Okay, let's talk about deed theft for a minute.
Mm.
So you see what's happening in Brooklyn.
Yes.
People own brownstones. They've been owning brownstones. They were giving them away back in the 60s and the 70s.
Uh-huh.
People wouldn't come over here because it was allegedly, it was dangerous,
I wish
right?
I would have known.
Brownstones now are worth millions. Millions.
Multi-millions.
So you have a lot of senior citizens, mostly women, mostly people of color, who are cash poor and are sitting on equity worth millions. So you got bad actors who come in, take advantage of them, offer them money, steal their homes, have them sign deeds, deeds that they cannot transfer because they're behind in their mortgage. They can't afford the maintenance of the property. They fall behind on taxes. They fall behind on their mortgage. And then you have someone, and sometimes people even look like them, who are actually fronts, saying, I'm going to help you. Just sign this.
Mm.
And you have seniors who don't understand the financial documents that they're signing. And next thing you know, they steal their brownstones. It's happening in Central Brooklyn, Southeast Queens. It's happening in Harlem. Happening all over, happening in Buffalo, happening upstate New York. That's deed theft. And so we go after these bad actors. And we worked in Albany with the legislature to pass a law to make it a crime. So now I'm going after your ass if you take advantage of senior citizens and you try to steal their property.
Thank you.
I'm going to put you in jail. Not you.
Not
okay,
me.
Wage theft. You got people who, like, you know, construction workers who work on these some of these buildings and they're not being paid prevailing wage. And that's wage theft. They pay them for less. They
right.
misclassify them. Or you work for, you know, Drizzly, or you work for
DoorDash. Yeah.
And they steal your wages. They steal your tips. And they take your tips and they pay you your tips as if it's your base wage. And it's wage theft. And they do it time and time again. And we've been going after them as well. And the unions, you know, part of the progress of this nation is because of the labor movement. And I will defend labor because I recognize that the labor movement and the middle class are inextricably tied. And the labor movement, they bring complaints to me each and every day.
That's fine.
Based on their workers, their members who are victims of wage theft. You know, I can recall when I was a city council member, one of these buildings, a construction worker who was an immigrant, fell and died somewhere on Flatbush Avenue. And the company just literally left him. And it was my community, this community, residents of public housing, put their nickels and dimes together. And we gave him a funeral. And they raised money and they sent him back to his country for a proper funeral.
That's crazy.
This See? Is what happens.
But that's what happens. Like, you know, and you got a lot, there's, you know, going back to the ICE thing, there's a lot of, you know, fear mongering amongst immigrants, you know, going on right now.
They just want to work. They just want to work.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the dudes in the Home Depot, they're not selling fent.
That's right.
They just trying to swing a hammer and put some shingles on your
that's
roof
right.
for $40.
That's right.
You know?
And before this administration, before the Trump administration, we used to have task force where we would work with the federal government and go after drug dealers and individuals who are bringing in illegal guns and people
trafficking
who are trafficking in fentanyl and all of that. And now they're over there in Home Depot. And the vast majority of the individuals that they're kidnapping are people who are not engaging in crime. He said he was going to go after the criminals. He's going after hardworking people.
Thank you for saying
that. This shit is ridiculous.
This shit is ridiculous. Thank you for saying that, because you said kidnapping.
Kidnapping.
And that's what I call it, because if you run down on me at church and you just throw a bag over my head and throw cuffs on me and you don't tell me where you're taking me, you're kidnapping me.
Right. And they're all masked up. You don't even know who they are.
Come on. You from Brooklyn. I'm from the Bronx. If somebody runs down on us masked up.
Right. What are we going to do?
Hey.
Hey.
What you got going on?
Right. Right.
You know? Yeah. There's no peaceful response to somebody masked up running down on you. No way. No way. So we're talking about wage theft,
yeah.
Deed theft, yeah. People taking advantage of, you know, yeah. By bad actors. Yeah. You know, you did a lot of work with Brad Lander in this area.
Yes.
The mayoral race, right?
Yes.
We saw Brad and Zoran cross endorse each other.
Yes.
Right? Kind of like forming a coalition.
Yes.
There is an energy in New York,
yes.
Right now, in the city,
yes.
Politically.
Yes.
That I haven't seen in I want to say 10 years.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I want to ask you two questions.
Yeah.
Why do you think that Hakeem Jeffries, number one, and number 1A, Chuck Schumer, has not endorsed Zoran? As he is the Democratic nominee for mayor of New York, which would make sense to you, for you to support you, you know, the members of your party.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So this is Congress member, the leader's district, Hakeem Jeffries, who's a very good friend of mine, who I support. And I know Senator Schumer, who lives not too far. He's also a friend. I suspect that in the coming weeks, months, that they will endorse and embrace Zoran Mamdani. They've yet to meet him. There's a lot of stereotypes and caricature of Zoran. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have labeled him as this extremist, this far left anti-Semite individual. And it's just not the case at all. He ran on affordability. He ran on economic issues. And a lot of his policies can be enacted through pilot programs and with greater understanding of what his vision is for the city of New York.
Mm. And how does it feel to potentially have an ally in the mayor's office that shares your values, right? That is about working class people, that is about the New Yorkers that make New York, New York.
So I endorsed Adrian Adams, who's the speaker of the city council. And then ultimately, Adrian Adams cross-endorse Zoran and Brad and the working families. And yeah. As a supporter of the working families line, it was an honor to embrace Zoran. And I believe in his vision. And so that's why I am supporting him and working with him at this point in time. And I feel somewhat confident that Brad is going to be a major player mm-hmm. in Zoran's administration.
Talk about it because, you know, like...
I hope that he is.
A lot of people, you know, regular people, I yeah. like to say, will look at what Brad has done as a loss. But,
yeah.
you know, in politics, a loss could be...
This is a win.
Right. It's a win for down the road.
His loss was a major win for the city of New York and also for coalition building.
Right.
Because a lot of people are labeling Zoran as anti-Semite. And Brad is Jewish. So Brad brings some bona fides to the table, and he also is a validator for Zoran, and as well as I.
Right.
I'm really excited because, as you said, you know, when Barack Obama won, Flatbush Avenue and DeKalb Avenue and Lafayette Avenue was a party. You could not walk these streets that night. It was a party. I was supposed to be interviewed somewhere around here. I live a couple of blocks. I couldn't get past these streets, because
mm-hmm.
people were crying and partying, and I couldn't walk 5 feet without yeah. somebody hugging me and kissing and carrying on. And that's what I felt the night that he won. So, get ready.
Yeah. There's a palpable energy. Like you were saying, when Obama won it,
yeah.
when AOC, when I was in the Bronx on the ground with yeah. AOC out there,
yeah.
and the love she was getting in the street, from just people hopping out of cars, like, yo, oh, I just want to hug you. Thank you so much. You coming down here means so much to me. People don't understand. I said it before, but people don't understand, like, how far that goes. And how,
that's it.
I'm not going to say you started it, But you are one of the people that does that, that is in the, that will come down here and be in the community and talk to the people. Like, and not, you know, just be up all the way up there in Albany or all the way up there, wherever, you know, just on a computer. Like,
not be afraid of people.
Exactly.
It's that retail politics. And so, and that's what AOC and that's what Zohran has done. And that's what so many others have done. Knock on doors, talk to people in their humble homes and listen. Politicians need to listen more than anything else. And so, you know, and, you know, I call it gerontocracy.
Mm.
We got to move on. Mm-hmm. We got to embrace, you know, the new blood, the new kids.
New voices.
New voices.
New energy.
New energy.
Yeah.
In these streets.
Yeah.
That's what we got to do. And so, you know, I may be part of that population, even though I don't look it. Thank you very much. But but the point is that it's just this new energy that I'm feeling. And for all of those moms and dads and Ingersoll Whitman and Farragut and LG and Atlantic Terminal that are struggling right now, we see you. We hear you. We're there for you.
Tisha James, ladies and gentlemen, this is Victory Light. It's your boy, the Kid Merrill, the human durag, baby. And we are live from Brooklyn. I'm from the Bronx, though. You know what I'm saying? Always a represent.
BS, but he's lactose intolerant.
Cut the cameras for a poot.
A Victory Light. A Victory Light.